You know, I want to talk this morning on the baptism of the Lord. And the first thing I want to ask you to ponder with me, by the way, the title of the message today is from an old spiritual, Wade in the Water, Children. God's going to trouble the water. Now, those are sort of unusual words, aren't they? Wade in the water. I guess I understand. But what does it mean to say that God is going to trouble the waters? And because he's troubling the waters, why should we wade into troubled waters? And we're going to get to that in a minute. But that's the title of the message today, that we are to wade in the water. And by the way, when the word children is used, it's not just referring to our young people, but we're all the children of God. Amen? Now, the first thing I want to ask you, though, about this baptism is something strange happened today at the beginning of the gospel. John the Baptist was really surprised when Jesus came to be baptized. Why would John be surprised? What's strange about Jesus going to get baptized? All right. He didn't have any sin. That's right there. See? What's baptism about? Even John's baptism was saying, I've got some sins, I need to repent and get right with God. That's what the baptism of John meant. And yet Jesus comes to be baptized, who had never sinned. According to Scripture, it's very clear, Jesus never sinned. Are we all clear on that, church? That's what the Scriptures teach. And yet Jesus comes to be baptized. Now, what I want you to stop and think about for a minute is, see how humble Jesus is? Even though he never sinned, he's willing to be numbered among sinners. He's willing to be on the mourner's bench. He's willing to be in the line for confession. He's willing to be seen as a sinner, to associate with sinners. He eats meals with them. He was called a friend of sinners. You know, church, Jesus didn't just come to get us out of trouble. He did come to do that. But church, he came to get into trouble with us. He never sinned, but he suffered the effects that this world has with all of the sinfulness in this world. Jesus got into trouble with us. And so again, it's a very powerful thing for us to think about at the beginning of this, the humility of Jesus, that he who never sinned, that he who is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, that he who is God would so humble himself and be counted among sinners. Now, not only did he do it at his baptism, but at his death. Jesus was crucified, which is a sin, which is a type of a death reserved only for the worst of sinners. The worst of sinners were crucified. It was like capital punishment, all right? The worst of sinners. Jesus takes that death upon himself. And where was he crucified? Between two other people. And who were those other people? You don't have to know their names, but what were they? Robbers or thieves. Imagine the humility of our God, church. He's crucified between two thieves. The people came and scoffed that he must have done something wrong. Jesus had done nothing wrong. Amen, church? But he's willing to be accounted among sinners. Now, young people, say this with me. I'm going to quote to you from the letter to the Hebrews. And it's from Hebrews chapter 2, and verse 11. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren. One more time, like we really mean it now. Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brethren, his brothers and sisters. All right. Now, have you ever had a family member where you like to say, oh, they're not my family member? Right? Jesus walks right up and says, this is my brother. This is my sister. To thieves, to prostitutes, to people who were confused, to people who were sinners.
And Jesus has more than a few nuts falling from his family tree. When he's got us with him, when he's got us in the family tree, amen? And Jesus says, that's all right. They're my brothers and they're my sisters. They're mine. He's not ashamed. So the first thing I want you to see today is that whatever your struggles, whatever your trials, whatever your imperfections, whether you got an F in math on a recent math test or an A, whether you got, you know, wonderful, whether you're the fastest runner on the track team or one of the slower ones, Jesus just walks up and says, you're my brother, you're my sister, I love you. I love you with all my heart. Okay? Pretty nice, isn't it? All right. Now, that's the first thing I wanted to tell you, but I want to get back now to the title of my message. Wade in the water, children. God's going to trouble the water. Now listen. I asked you, why was Jesus baptized? And you said, first of all, we said Jesus wasn't a sinner, so we don't really know why he was baptized. One of the reasons that Jesus was baptized was because he wanted to identify with us. But another reason was because Jesus wanted to trouble the water. Now, what do I mean by that? I'll bet you some of the adults don't know what I mean either. What does it mean? I'm not going to ask you to answer this, but just think about this question for a minute. What does it mean when I tell you that Jesus wanted to trouble the water? You see, I want to try to teach you about how God troubles the water. And when he troubles the water, some blessings always come. I want to talk to you about some other stories in the Bible to try to teach you this. Now, think about just physically what it means to trouble the water. Have you ever come up on a pond of water and it was real still, clear like glass, right? There was no wind. The water was clear. You could see the sky reflected in it, right? You've seen what I mean by still waters, right? What's one way to trouble those waters? Take and throw a rock in them, right? And boom, the whole water all ripples and the water begins to move. And you see what I'm saying? This is what it means physically to trouble the waters. Or to get on the diving board and do a big cannonball right into the water, right? Troubling the water. Stirring the water up. Troubling the water. Taking that stagnant water that's just sitting there, gathering algae, and going and stirring it up. Or as we say in the old spiritual, troubling the water. Now Jesus, one of the reasons he was baptized was because he wanted to trouble the water. Now, let me tell you some examples of how God troubled the water. And every time God troubles the waters, there's a blessing that comes. Now listen carefully. The very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that the earth was a void and formless, just a ball of water. And it says here in the book of Genesis that God, the Holy Spirit, came and moved over the surface of the water. Let me say it again. God, the Holy Spirit, came like a dove and moved over the surface of the water. And what happens next? They become a wellspring of life. All life begins to come as the Holy Spirit breathes and moves over that water. So, God troubled the water, and what happened? There was a blessing. And what was the blessing? Life. Life was the blessing. The waters became now filled with life. Now, how many of you know, brothers and sisters, that when God moved over the waters of our baptism, we're brought to a new life. New life. So Jesus troubles these waters now to give us spiritual new life. Jesus didn't need to be blessed by the water. Jesus blessed the water. The water that would bless us. But remember, when God troubles the water, good things happen, church. Are you praying with me? Now, by the way, is troubled water always it's kind of scary sometimes, isn't it? The water's really stirred up. can be a little terrifying, can it? But again, remember, don't be afraid. God troubles the waters. Why? To bring blessings. Now let me give you another example where God troubled the water. God made the world and people began to populate the planet. And again, in the book of Genesis, we find out that great wickedness came on the earth. Great wickedness. And so God said, I need to wash away all these sins. And what did God do? Anyone remember? What about the water? Oh, he troubled the water. Yes, that's right. We're going to find out. How did he trouble the water? Someone said, yeah, he flooded the earth, didn't he? God troubled the waters. He said, I need to cleanse the earth. I have only one family I can find that I can save. The rest of the earth needs to be washed and cleansed from all of its sins. So how many of you know God troubled those waters? And what happened? There was a great what? A great flood. But what happened? God washed the earth clean of its sin and brought a family through and reestablished the earth in greater innocence. Now, what does baptism do for us in terms of our sins? When Jesus troubles the water of our baptism, what are we being cleansed of? Our sins. Just like the earth was cleansed by those troubled waters of the flood, now in our baptism, the troubled waters of our baptism wash us clean from sin and give us new life. Hallelujah, church. Well, let me tell you another example of where God troubled the waters. The people were in Egypt, and they were in slavery. And God said, I'm going to set my people free. Go ahead, say hallelujah. I want to take them out of slavery and bring them into freedom. And so finally, after all the plagues and everything, God led them out into the desert, and they came to a body of water called what? Well, I think I heard someone say the Red Sea. All of a sudden, Pharaoh's chariots are chasing them. Amen, church? And they've got the sea to their back and Pharaoh's chariots in front of them. And they say, uh-oh. But how many of you know that God can make a way out of no way? And what did God do? God troubled those waters of the Red Sea, I said. He troubled them. And the water parted like a wall to the right and to the left. And the people went through the Red Sea. They didn't even get their toes wet. It said God sent a mighty wind to trouble those waters. The waters parted. And the people went through the Red Sea. Out of slavery into freedom. What does baptism do for us? When Jesus troubles the waters of our baptism, what does he do? He takes us out of the slavery of sin into the glorious freedom of the children of God. That's okay to say hallelujah, young people. God troubles the waters. Well, guess what? They got into the desert, though. They're free. Hallelujah. But all of a sudden, they realize that they're free, but they're not yet in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They've got a desert to cross. Hallelujah. They got to cross this desert, and they start to worry. Are we just going to die of thirst out in this desert? So what did God tell Moses to do? Strike the rock. That's correct. Take the staff and strike the rock, and water will flow forth. Hallelujah, church. God troubled the waters yet again. How many of you are thirsty in life? How many of you know that God, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me. For out of my side shall flow waters, fountain of living water welling up to eternal life. So not only does the Lord trouble the waters to bring us out of slavery into freedom, not only does he trouble the water to give us new life, not only does he trouble the water to cleanse our sins, but God also troubles the water to satiate our thirst and to bring us, to help us to get through the desert of this life. How many of you know that you have experienced God's saving grace in this life? We've got a desert to cross. But the Lord will trouble the waters. And our baptism isn't just meant for a day. Our baptism is for our life. And we got to keep coming back to the waters of the Lord. Amen? We got to keep coming back. Well, there's another story about I want to tell you about. They finally got through the desert. They finally got through. And all of a sudden, they're going to cross into the promised land. I said they're going to cross into the promised land. But guess what? It's flood season. The River Jordan is wide and the waters are swift. They said, we can't cross into the promised land. Well, guess what? God troubled the waters. God troubled the waters. And what happened? Again, just like in the Red Sea, the water parted. And they walked through, right across River Jordan, into what? The Promised Land. When God troubles the waters, how many of you know that good things happen? Amen? Good things happen. Not only was I cleansed of my sin, not only was I given new life, not only did I come out of slavery into freedom, not only am I helped to get across this desert, but church, the gates of heaven are open for me. Amen? The waters of baptism, when Jesus troubled the waters of our baptism, do you see all the things that the Bible teaches us? How many of you know it's a good thing when God troubles the waters? It's a mighty good thing. God troubles the waters. It's not easy to get into troubled water. You know, the word trouble is not usually a positive word, is it? We think, uh-oh, there's some challenges ahead. But guess what? Every time God troubled the waters, what happened? Blessings. Let me just make sure you answer this question right again. Every time God troubles the water, what happens? Amen, church. Now, therefore, when Jesus goes into the River Jordan, He troubles the waters. What are we going to get then? Blessings. Amen. Listen to what happens. It says, Jesus came up from the water, and behold, listen to this now, the heavens were open. Are we awake over here? He troubles the water, and what happens? The heavens are opened. And the Father's voice is heard. This is my beloved Son, my beloved daughter. Do you understand what happens when you were baptized? The heavens were open for you. The heavens were opened. And the Father's voice is heard. You are a beloved son. You are a beloved daughter of mine. Do you understand something? God loves you. He says, you're my son. You're my daughter. Someone I really love. Can someone say that's a gift? Can someone say that's a blessing? Not only that, church, but again, when God troubles the waters, what comes? Blessings. So the heavens are open. The Father's voice is heard. You're my beloved son, my beloved daughter. And behold, it says here, behold, the Spirit, descending like a dove, came to rest on him. How many of you feel like you got the Holy Spirit? How many of you feel like every now and then you've got a joy that the world didn't give and the world can't take away? How many of you in this church are beginning to say, you know, I'm starting to think in a whole new way. I'm starting to see sin put to death. I'm starting to walk more and more in the ways of God. I still have my struggles. But God's been good to me. There's a joy in my heart. There's an increasing peace, a serenity that the world didn't give and the world can't take away. The Holy Spirit is descending like a dove on Jesus, and He's descending on you. Now, those of you who are going to be confirmed, you know how most, a lot of you are in eighth grade, some of you are a little bit older, some a little bit younger, but here's how the typical person, the young person comes up to get confirmed. And the bishop who's going to anoint you with oil and give you the Holy Spirit, he's going to give you a booster shot of the Holy Spirit. tries to look at you in the eye, but you're just looking down at your toes. And then he says, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. And also with you. Brothers and sisters, it's okay to have some joy when you get confirmed tomorrow, all right? It's all right. You see, in the early church, when they were confirmed, they started to speak in tongues and make bold proclamations. Because when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they noticed. They noticed. Now, sometimes the Spirit works quietly, but it's all right to notice that the Holy Spirit is going to come on you tomorrow, all right? Praise the Lord. And it's all right for some of us to get happy in church and to notice when the Holy Spirit's working in our life. So you see, Jesus is troubling the waters. He's troubling the waters. He's troubling the waters. And what comes when God troubles the waters? Blessings. The heavens are opened. The heavens were closed, church. I got news for you. When Adam and Eve sinned, the heavens were closed. But in our baptism, when the saving work of Jesus Christ touches us, the heavens are opened. The way is opened. The Father's voice is heard. You're my beloved son, my beloved daughter. The Holy Spirit descends. And then finally, not only does God say, you are my beloved son or my beloved daughter, but He says, I am well pleased in you. Because church, I got news for you. When Jesus troubles the water, He brings you something that we call in the Christian tradition, sanctification. Sanctification. It means that God is going to make you holy. God is making us holy. Church, one day, we're going to be perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. Because the blood of Jesus Christ will put all sin, all negativity, all of that stuff to death. And bring alive the holy person that God has always made us to be. If you and I are faithful to God and faithful to the sacraments, faithful to prayer, the Father can say to you, to me, I am well pleased in you. Well pleased. Well pleased. How many of you know that God loves you? How many of you know that you know that you know that God loves you? He's already pleased in us. You know, He called Peter a rock before Peter was a rock. And He's calling you and me holy. Long before we're completely holy. Because God, when God says something, it happens. Amen. When God said, let there be light, there was light. When God says, be holy, for I am holy. If we're faithful, church, we're going to be holy. Amen. Well, I've gone on too long. I want to bring it to an end. But listen to what this text says. It says, God's going to trouble the waters. Now, again, what happens when God troubles the water? Blessings. Now, but it does say here, wade in the water, children. In other words, don't be afraid. Some of God's blessings come in the troubled waters of our life. Are you praying with me? Do you know what I'm talking about? In a certain way, I hope some of our young people are too young to know what I'm talking about. But I'll bet most of you have had some troubled waters from here and there. Amen? And some of us who are older have had some mighty troubled waters. The struggles, the addictions, the difficulties, nervous breakdowns, the death of someone we love, the troubled waters of life. But church, do not despair. Because in the troubled waters of life, there is still blessing. God can still bless. And God is up to something good. In every sorrow or every difficulty, the Bible says all things work together for good to those who love and trust the Lord. So even in the troubled waters of life, go ahead, wade in the water. Don't run. Someone said, I want a bridge over troubled water. Don't follow that song. I said, not a bridge over troubled water. Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. God will trouble the waters of our life. Yes. To bring what? Blessings. God's got a way to make a way out of no way. He can do it, and He will do it. And you know, some of the troubled waters that you might face as young people, when you stand up to do the right thing, there's going to be some folks who say, what you doing being like that? Wade in the waters. There may be trouble. Some people may laugh at you. Some people may call you names. Some people may pressure you to do things that are wrong and inappropriate. But you know in your heart, because God gave you the Holy Spirit, you know what you need to do. It's all right. There may be troubled waters. There may be rejection. There may be problems that come up. But in the end, you know the right thing. Do it anyway. Wade in the water. Wade in those waters. Because every time you wade into those troubled waters, what comes?
Blessings.
Well, I think I've hammered that to death. What do you think? But church, one of the ways that we all wade in the water is by simply doing this, reaffirming our faith. So I'm going to ask this congregation to stand now. And we're going to open the doors in a minute. But first today, we're going to remind ourselves of the vows of our baptism. We're going to bless, the water's already been blessed, troubled by the Lord. Deacon Cyrus blessed the water earlier. And when he put his hand to bless that water, God troubled the water that we're about to be sprinkled with. And there come blessings. But before we do that, we want to renew the vows of our own baptism. I ask all who are baptized to respond the resounding, I do, to the following statements. Do you reject Satan and all of his works and all of his empty promises? Do you believe in God the Father, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, crucified, died, was buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? This is our faith. We are to wade into the waters of our faith. Troubled that those waters may still be, but this is the faith of the church, and we are proud and courageous to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.